Joining us now on the patio, another beat writer, Maria Gordado, MLB.com. First time you've joined us out here, Maria.
Yeah, and I have a tough act to follow coming in after Carey, so I hope I hold my own.
His stuff wasn't that great.
Yeah, he'll be all just right. Okay.
You're going to blow him out of the water. So last match, what was that, Carey? He says Maria is much better. Thank you for joining us on the patio here. Maria, last night an 8-3 win for the Giants. Bumgarner, spectacular. Lot being made of his home and road splits. Gets his 60th career win at Oracle Park. He ties Matt Cain for the all-time number of victories for a Giants pitcher. It's any pitcher here at this ballpark. What do you make of the second half that Bumgarner's having, and what does it mean for his future as a Giant?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really impressive. You obviously saw him struggle a bit in his last start at Dodger Stadium. It was kind of one of the worst starts that he'd ever had there, and after that you kind of saw him make his adjustment where he started using the entire plate. You know, he kind of confessed that he had been caught using one side, so he kind of made an adjustment and started moving the ball around a little bit more, and after that, that's when you kind of really saw him take off. He's had a really impressive run here over his last 13 starts, 11 of which the Giants have won, so that's obviously been huge for the team, especially because they've kind of gotten inconsistent production from some of the rest of their younger starters. So Bumgarner has really been a really key pillar for this team, and I'm curious to see what his future in the city will be, as I'm sure everyone else is, you know.
Yeah.
I think that there is obviously a case to be made for him to be re-signed, just given, you know, some of the stumbles that I guess some of the younger guys have had. You know, he's really been, him and Jeff Samardzija have been kind of the two constants in this rotation, and I think that there is value in having a kind of proven workhorse to kind of slot into the top of the rotation, and I think that, you know, the Giants are really going to have to explore that seriously this winter. So it will be a really fascinating call for Farhan Zaidi, who obviously doesn't have that kind of emotional ties that, mm-hmm. you know, that some of his predecessors might have had. But obviously, I think he can also see the value of having someone who can kind of take that ball every fifth day and give you a chance to win. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating.
Diving a little deeper into that Madison Bumgarner, where he's going to be next season, where do you think it will net out, if I'm asking you to predict? Because I think there's one half, which is, what do the Giants want to do? What direction is Farhan Zaidi going to go in? But I think the other side of the coin, which I think is thought about less, is, what does Bumgarner want? You know, does he want to come back? Does he want to explore free agency? Does he want to try a new club? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't blame him if he was kind of curious to see what free agency was like, especially, you know, obviously the markets have been a little slower the last two off seasons. So I think maybe part of him is curious to see what kind of offers he would receive. I think he was probably fully prepared to be, you know, switching teams at the trade deadline, to be perfectly honest, until obviously the Giants went on that incredible July run and kind of forced the front office to reconsider a little bit. But I think part of him also, you know, would probably love to stay, you know. But on the one hand, you know, Bruce Bochy is going to be retiring at the end of the season, and I think a lot of his loyalty to this organization probably stems from Bochy's presence. You know, he's called him one of his best friends in this game. So, you know, perhaps, you know, with Bochy on his way out, maybe he'll be a little bit more open to looking elsewhere. You know, he's obviously from North Carolina, so maybe somewhere on the East Coast. You know, the Braves have kind of been touted as kind of an interesting landing spot for him, just because they have this crop of young talent that are going to come up and keep that team competitive for a really long time, whereas the Giants, you know, we're not sure if they're going to be able to kind of be, you know, jump back into playoff contention as early as next year, you know. That still kind of remains to be seen. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating free agent case. You know, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be something that's going to be worth monitoring, obviously, this whole winter.
Maria Gordado, MLB.com, with us. It's interesting, and it's something that Marty has talked about a lot after the trade deadline, in that if you're in Madison Bumgarner's camp, if you're his agent or his representatives, are you curious about what Farhan Zaidi turned down for him at the trade deadline? And maybe you say the market's not as big for him as we thought it was going to be. In looking at his road splits from his home splits, 2.83 ERA at home in 16 starts this year. On the road, 13 starts for Bumgarner, a 4.68. So really not as good in 75 innings pitch. Opposing batting average on the road of 272. At home, 213. He's given up more home runs, obviously, at home, but he's pitched more at home in 102/3 innings. So I wonder, who owns the leverage here when it comes to a negotiation for Madison Bumgarner? Does Farhan have the leverage in saying, well, maybe there's not going to be as much value for him because teams in other organizations look at his road splits and say, you didn't fare as well in our ballparks as you did in San Francisco? And do the Giants say, hey, if he wants the most success he can have rather than maybe the most dollar amount he can have, it's held right here in San Francisco. I'm curious about where they go and what Madison Bumgarner's camp thinks about what the market would be for him.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I would just add to that that the Giants are probably going to extend him a qualifying offer at the end of the season. And, you know, we've seen that kind of depress some of the free agents of guys like Craig Kimbrell, Dallas Keuchel. And if he were to re-sign with the Giants, they wouldn't have to give up that draft pick compensation like some other teams. So that could also kind of give them a bit of advantage in some of these negotiations. Like I said, it's going to be really interesting. I feel like, on the one hand, maybe that will give Farhan a little bit more leverage. So that's also something to kind of take into account as we move forward.
Yeah, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, some of the new guys that have come up, namely Mauricio Dubon.
Dubon, yeah, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll go with that. He had basically now two kind of appearances, and one of them he got his first hit, and the other one he went 0-for right there. So What do you see from him? What do you see his role being through the end of the season and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's someone that we're probably going to see mixed in a lot of the two middle infield spots. You know, you're obviously seeing him today make his first start shortstop, so I think that, you know, the Giants are probably kind of excited to see how he performs there, which is actually his natural position. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Giants obviously thought he could help them. You know, they made the decision to kind of release Scooter Gennett and bring him in and give him kind of this extended look over this final month of the season. So I think that he's someone that the Giants are definitely invested in, and they kind of want to see what he can do. You know, I think that the defense, we've already seen kind of make a pretty spectacular play at second base when he kind of dove to the shortstop side of second base in his Giants debut. And I think that, you know, I think that they want to see a little bit more what we can do with the bat. I think that he's someone that they're definitely excited about, someone who they think that has a lot of athleticism and upside, and someone who could hopefully be kind of a big part of their middle infield, you know, for many years to come.
Why the timing for him coming up right now? Why did they make this move now? And that they could have just brought him up at the trade deadline when they made that trade. He was hitting, very well in the Brewers organization. Came over and then continued to hit in Sacramento. But why this timing? Why make the move for Scooter Gennett? And I get that. You wanted to improve second base a little bit. But if it was only for 3.5 weeks, why not just hang on to Joe Panik?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, at the trade deadline, I think the fact that Gennett was available, you know, they didn't really give up a ton to get him. You know, I think it was kind of like, you know, I think they got him for cash considerations or a player to be named later. So I think that was, you know, it was kind of just taking a flyer on a veteran who had a track record.
High
of
upside,
hitting
yeah, of course.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And, you know, the decision to release Joe Panik, I mean, that was obviously a tough one, and given what he's done in this organization. But, I mean, he'd kind of really struggled to produce offensively for the last 2 years or so. I think that was one thing that kind of prompted them to make that switch. In terms of, you know, bringing in Dubon now as opposed to, you know, tomorrow when the rosters were going to expand, I think part of it was just that the Giants wanted to give Gennett kind of an opportunity to perhaps catch on with another team before September 1st, which is kind of the deadline to be in an organization in order to be eligible to play in the postseason. I think obviously, you know, Dubon has more of a future here than Gennett, who impending free agent does. So I think that those are all kind of factors that came into play. I think we're going to see, obviously, Dubon get his fair share of starts here and there as they kind of mix and match. They've obviously been doing a lot more platooning in the second half that we've seen. So, yeah, I mean, I think those were all kind of parts of the factors. And then he was playing well, so I think he kind of deserved to get the shot with the Giants finally.
And do you think that he, you know, if his natural born position is shortstop, does this mean anything for Brandon Crawford and his future here, whether it be his playing time or something else?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point. I mean, obviously, you kind of, you know, the Giants haven't had a ton of middle field depth behind Crawford in the last couple of years. So even when he was struggling, they didn't really have, you know, too many options to kind of turn to kind of replace him. But, you know, I think if he continues to perhaps not deliver the same offense that he has in the past, and you kind of see Dubon take off, you know, perhaps he's liable to lose some few starts to Dubon, especially against left-handers. So, I think that they're both obviously, you know, Crawford's still under contract for many years to come, so I think that they're both going to be part of this equation. But yeah, I mean, I think you could see him lose some playing time to Dubon if Dubon starts to take off and if he continues to struggle.
Yeah, I heard Dubon has a really nice glove. We've seen a little bit of it, like you alluded to, but I heard it's even better than that.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, kind of see the athleticism in him, and he's obviously a very young guy. I think he's only 25, so I think that's kind of some of the benefits of bringing in younger guys who kind of have that a little bit more spring in their step and kind of are able to show off their glove like he already has.
Maria, you've been around this team all season long. It's the final year of Bruce Bochy, and now heading into the final month of Bruce Bochy, the last day of August, of course, today. Seems to me like Bochy, he doesn't show a lot of emotion when it comes to stuff. He's very practical. He's very matter-of-fact. He's not dry at all, but he's not the emotional guy that I think some other people across baseball are. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve like maybe other people do. What do you think we're going to see from him in this final month? He's a very reflective guy, it seems like. He made a big deal about not wanting things on the road, though every team continued to give him bottles of wine or Montana fly fishing trips, whatever it is. One, what do you think the Giants are going to do? And two, what do you think his feeling or emotion is going to be like as he ends his career in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think it's kind of starting to set in for him a little bit. And, you know, he always jokes, I'm on the back end of this run now. And, you know, in this last road trip, you kind of saw him make his final stops in three different cities, Arizona, Chicago, and Oakland. So I think, you know, it's starting to set in for him a little bit that he's kind of, you know, it's really winding down for him. So I'm curious to see what the Giants will do for him. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to send him off in style. So, you know, whether that's, you know, sending him off with some really nice wine or some other, you know, more sentimental gifts, you know, that, you know, that remains to be seen.
Will he do the 100 Pence scooter lap around the
maybe
warning
he'll get a scooter.
I would love to see that. That would be great. I'm sure he wouldn't mind it.
Well, I'll jump on the scooter.
Yeah. I'll take a lap, then.
I think he has a little bit of a daredevils in him. So, you know, perhaps we'll see that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be really emotional for everyone, you know, not just him, but also his players, many of whom have obviously played for him for a really long time. I think it's starting to hit him for sure.
I was going to ask a little bit about arguably one of the people that I think is probably closest to him is Pablo Sandoval. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Pablo might not be around very much longer with, you know, he may get surgery, it sounds like, and he may bat at some point.
You said it could get into bat maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, right. What do you feel like is in the future for Pablo Sandoval? I think he's been such a shot in the arm. I know I always see you at his locker talking to him, so I know you chat with him a lot. What's his feeling about everything?
Yeah, I mean, this is also a very interesting last final month for Pablo, who's obviously going to be a free agent at the end of the year. You know, the fact that he's going to undergo Tommy John surgery is kind of major news for him in terms of his free agency because, you know, he's 33. He's going to be coming off kind of this major surgery on his throwing elbow. So, you know, he's pretty adamant that this isn't the end of the road for him. He still feels like he has plenty of baseball left to give. And I think if you just look at the production that he was able to provide this season, you know, I think that he's right. I mean, he was obviously a very huge piece for this team, you know, really clutch off the bench. And he's obviously one of Bochy's favorites, so I think it was kind of special for him to kind of have him in this final year before retirement. You know, I think Pablo has said that he would love to come back to San Francisco. You know, this is obviously a place where he feels most at home. But, you know, that's going to be kind of another tough call for Farhan, you know, as he kind of considers Pablo probably won't be ready to come back until, you know, maybe midway through the season. You know, it kind of depends on how he rehabs his elbow. And like I said, you know, the free agent market for veterans has really slowed down the last two seasons. So, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of market develops for him, especially as he kind of works his way off this injury. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, like you said, it would be really, really kind of great to see him get at least one final at-bat, perhaps tomorrow, you know, once rosters expand, if he's clear just sitting from the left side, I think it would be really special to kind of see him bat at Oracle Park one more time and, you know, for possibly get a farewell.
Maybe he'll get a scooter.
Yeah.
Maybe Pablo will get a scooter.
He already has one, actually. I've seen
Pablo
it.
Pablo has one?
I've seen it in the interview room.
It has little, pandas
on it. Yeah.
All right.
So maybe he'll roll that out. That'd be great.
The word of the day is transition, right? As we get into September, we get ready to transition out of the Bruce Bochy era, potentially the Madison Bumgarner era, and we start to look at the future of the Giants. So, Maria, thank you for your time today. Appreciate you sitting down with us.
Thank you so much.